Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. My name is Kevin, AC Padres beat writer. My boss, Jay Posner, is here. We're both in San Diego, first homestand. We were going to do our usual podcast yesterday, and our producer had some computer issues. We thought, all right, cool, we'll just do it before the second game. Little did we know it would be something of a newsy emergency podcast today, Jay. And Jay, for those who aren't watching and we're listening later when we get this up, explain what is happening there with the shirt behind you.
It's a solemn day, Kevin. It's a solemn day.
You know, it really does feel like that.
It does. It's one of those things where I know I worked late last night. You worked probably several hours beyond that. Up early, too early this morning. And it's like, kind of looked at the paper and like, yeah, I guess that really did happen last night. I had to get out my wife's Tatis shirt. Put it on a hanger, you know, like the players do in the dugout when a guy is missing. So he's over my shoulder there. I even put on black today, and you know, it just kind of felt like one of those kind of days. It also happens to be a Liverpool shirt, but we won't get into what's going on with that today. So
here's the deal, Jay. Fernando Tatis Jr. took a swing last night in the third inning on a strikeout, and he crumpled to the ground. He had a shoulder subluxation. It's a fancy word for dislocation. What is happening now is Fernando Tatis Jr. will go undergo an MRI today. They're going to be checking to see the severity of what is almost certainly, I talked to a couple doctors, including one for a story that is up on the website right now, a labral tear. The labrum is the cartilage that holds the shoulder together. The shoulder is a, you know, it's got a pretty big range of motion, and it moves for all of us. Fernando Tatis Jr.'s moves too much. It comes out. What he's probably facing is arthroscopic surgery in the end of his season. If he doesn't do that, because he's not playing football, right? All those years covering the NFL, you do this. This man, you're going down. You can't be running into guys. Well, Fernando Tatis Jr. could play on, but it would be a constant concern. We are now talking about it having happened for the second time in 2 weeks on non-contact plays. Right. For a player who plays with contact. I mean, he is practically a football player on the baseball field. And so, you know, this is fairly troubling. And, you know, you were talking about there, you know, it feeling a little solemn. Jay, you and I aren't Padres fans per se. We are fans of good baseball, and a very good baseball player probably just had his 2021 season ended.
Yeah, I mean, I am a sports fan and have been for, you know, as long as I can remember. And one of the great things about being a sports fan is watching great players in action. And here, you know, we're lucky enough to have this guy, the potential face of baseball for the next decade or so, be in our city, you know, and whether professionally or not, just personally, to be able to watch the Padres play all their games and to be able to watch him in person on TV is something to really look forward to. And so from that standpoint, it's very disheartening to see. And you know, I would feel that way about, you know, if it happened to a guy like Mike Trout or Mookie Betts or any great player. Yep. It's obviously a little bit more when it's someone who's in your city who you get to watch, every game. And of course, it's, you know, cast a I don't want to say a pall, but certainly a shadow, at least over this season with, you know, these great expectations that people have. And it doesn't mean that the season's over by any means, but if Tatis is lost for the season, and you know, the story that you wrote that I just edited a few minutes before we went on, and it talked about this doctor who happens to be with the Curlin Job Institute in LA, and is a team doctor for the Dodgers, is a guy who said there's potential long-term damage. And that was one of the things I was wondering today, if he could keep doing this, and you know, okay, misses a week here, a week there, but it's, you know, it's not going to cause any long-term damage. Maybe it's worth having him out there. But if he's going to potentially do long-term damage to that shoulder, it's just not worth it. He's too young. He's got too big of a future in front of him. Yes, this is a big season. It's one season. He's under contract for 14 seasons. They need to do what's right for him, and he needs to do what's right for him at this point.
And these injuries are always about Tatis, his family, his agent, and the team. And right. I think in this case, everyone's going to be in concert about what is best for Fernando Tatis Jr. First of all, you know, the face of the franchise, and a 22-year-old in the first year of a 14-year contract. So, I mean, this is a no-brainer once you get the MRI back and you discover, you know, the severity and all that. And it certainly seems. Look, Dr. Chow, who, you know, we've worked with extensively, the former Chargers team doctor, he nailed this as he usually does last night. And then Dr. Michael Banfi from this Kirlin Job Clinic, the things that they both said line up, and it just, you know, these guys know what they're talking about. When you're a team doctor, it's different than guys that operate on you and I, Jay. they know what it takes to play. And as I was talking to Dr. Banfi this morning, when you talk to a doctor like this, you don't talk specifically about Fernando Tatis Jr. He's not treating him, but he's talking in general. But we both know who Fernando Tatis Jr. is as we're talking. And it's virtually impossible that he wouldn't go through a season doing a hard tag and someone running into him, throwing himself into the ground. And like I said, the last two times he's had to leave a game was reaching across his body and swinging. Those are just everyday occurrences. You a lot to unpack in what you said, Jay, and I do think we're going to need to play this forward because the team's going to need to play this forward. But if it weren't an issue of long-term damage where it could wreck the, what I think, the capsule or the rotator cuff, that you could be, you know, now you're talking about, see, this surgery has a 6-month, it's season ending if it happens, and it's a 6-month recovery, and basically everything I hear is that's it, you move on, right?
Right.
Not so much with rotator cuff surgery. The likelihood for success for a more severe surgery, the more severe the surgery or the injury, the more invasive the surgery, and the less the likelihood that you're going to have no complications in the future. So, like I said, if it turns out that they determine that it's significant, this is something of a no-brainer for them. But like you said, if that weren't the case, the dude hit a 465-foot home run the other night. I mean, you know, if he could keep playing and then have to sit out every 3 days, I think you'd take that, okay?
Right.
But that's not the case, most likely.
Yeah, I mean, if this shows what everybody seems to think it's going to show, I just don't think it's worth the risk of doing that. But you're right. I mean, that ball went so far on Sunday that – where I was sitting, I literally could not see it land from my seats, which were pushed down the left field line for the first homestand. It was like, wow, that's still going. And I couldn't even tell how far it went. And I never did hear if that was the longest home run ever at Petco. Second?
At Petco, see, I started to answer your question before you asked it. I don't know that answer. It was the second longest of Tatis's career. I'm thinking of a Franmil Reyes homer.
Yeah, I don't remember the exact numbers, and I didn't get a chance to look it up. But if it wasn't the longest, it's probably in the top two. And you're right. I mean, he's able to do something like that when he's obviously has this injury. But if there's any risk of long-term damage, I just don't see how you can take that risk at this point. So we'll know more later, and obviously have to ask questions later as well. One of the ones that I have, the primary question I have, is what did they know about this injury a year ago? You know, we found out after it happened the first time, Jay Stengler said, oh, he's been dealing with this for, you know, what is his career, basically.
Yeah.
What did they know last year? Was this something, was it ever explored at the end of last season to do the surgery then,
you know,
when he had 6 months between, or 5 months or so between seasons? So that's one of the questions I know you'll be asking. And there are many more as well. I mean, last night I watched that interview with Jace Tingler, and it was kind of like you knew the writers were asking questions, the media members were asking questions that you knew you weren't going to get a great answer for, but you got to ask him anyway. And Tingler kind of handled himself as best he could, saying, look, he was in a lot of pain, but I can't say for sure that he's going to need this or that. We'll just have to see. But hopefully we'll know a little bit more today, even by the time some people are listening to this. So where we should go with this, because you don't want to spend the whole show just talking about the one thing, but what happens now? You know, Ha-Seong Kim is a shortstop. Jake Cronenworth's played shortstop. Jorge Mateo's played shortstop. I think Marcano's played some shortstop. How do you see this? What's your best speculation for how they work this?
Night to night. Like, I think of these next two pitchers who throw some gas, all right? And Ha-Seong Kim has not learned yet and may never learn, we don't know, but how to hit velocity. And that's just that's something you got to deal with. That's just a reality. So, but wait, Tucapita Marcano has like 5 plate appearances in the major leagues. Jorge Mateo's not terribly far behind him, or I should say ahead of him in terms of experience. So you put Cronenworth over at short, but what do you, you know, Mateo at second? Anything you do, obviously, is not Fernando Tatis Jr., but this is what the Padres are faced with. And I have to say this. This is the worst case scenario, obviously, your most dynamic player, but this is what you built your depth for. So this is where Will Myers and Tommy Pham and Manny Machado and Eric Hosmer and basically somebody that we're not even really thinking about is going to have to step up. So it's not just at shortstop. It's holy smokes, like last night, you know, Kim came up twice, I believe, in situations where Tatis would have come up in a one-run game. You know, at some point, the guy who's playing for Tatis is going to have to get one of those hits that Tatis got.
Or other people. I mean, I think the last two, they've been 1-for-7 with runners in scoring position for 2 straight games. They've left 22 men on base, I believe it is, over those 2 games, including 12 last night. I mean, Victor Caratini is like, you know, drove in the 2 runs last night, and nobody else could come up with anything with a runner on base. I did think, I mean, it's hard to fault Tommy Pham at the end. I mean, he really hit that ball hard at the end of the game, but they can still score runs without Tatis, but guys are going to have to play better than they did the last 2 nights. But again, you don't want to overreact to two nights. Over the long term, this is a very big thing to lose a very good player like that. But as you said, they do have depth. Who is the best defensive shortstop out of those 4 guys we mentioned? Would that be Kim?
I would love to say Kim, and I do believe it is Kim because I saw parts of it in spring training. But then there have been times where the game has seemed to, and I hesitate to use this word because he's a really good player, but the game has seemed to overwhelm him or be a little fast for him at this level. And I'm sure that will calm down. I mean, I don't know more than what the Padres saw over this course of time in the KBO to have this guy, you know, invest $28 million in him.
Right.
But at this present moment, which is what we're talking about, the game has seemed a little fast for Ha-Sung Kim. So he's the best defender. He really does have great hands. He plays very quickly. So Bobby Dickerson will continue to, you know, work with Ha-Sung Kim, and that's where you go. It'll be interesting. You know, one of the reasons, obviously, the Manny shift, right? That is because of Manny, of course, but also you leave Fernando Tatis over there by himself. How are you going to alter how you play defense? It's less of a margin of error when you take away a good player. It's certainly even further less of a margin for error in every facet when you take away a great player.
Right. I'm not even sure. I mean, we saw Mateo make a great catch in left field the other night. I mean, is his
he
best position
up.
Right? Is his best position at shortstop, second base?
I think it's become second base, my understanding. But Jay, that's exactly it. We, as people who cover the Padres and watch the Padres, haven't seen him play infield because there isn't really a spot for him. We've seen him play here and there, but we've seen him. I mean, his improvement in the outfield tells me what a great athlete he is. I mean, a month ago, you're like, Jorge Mateo, geez, man, he better have 1,000 OPS because he can't play the outfield. Well, he has become a heck of a defender out there because he's a good athlete. So I wouldn't be surprised.
Really, and starting this weekend, they're supposed to get Trent Grisham back starting Friday in Texas. So at that point, you really don't need him in the outfield because you've got, you've got one too many outfielders as it is because Profar, Pham and Myers and Grisham as it stands already. I mean, I guess – you know, you could always go, you could try Profar back at second base, another, you know, Cronenworth at short, Profar at second, another possibility if they wanted to go there. I don't know how much work Profar did in the infield in spring training. You know, there's obviously he's had some issues there. I don't know if that's something that they want to mess with, but there's a lot of options here for them to weigh. And I'm sure there were some sleepless nights for Jace Tingler and AJ Preller and a whole lot of other people with the Padres. And, you know, I'm sure they've been running through all sorts of options already for what they're going to do.
And what they're going to do.
And it won't just be one thing either. They're not just going to roll Tatis out there 140 or 150 games, which is what we had hoped for. I'm sure it's going to be a lot of mixing and matching. Unless, I mean, though, you know, you could always say, well, we're going to give Kim the shot at shortstop, leave Cronenworth at second. And maybe Kim, you know, given everyday activity and getting used to the game, he shows why they spent $28 million on him. So to me, that's kind of like the first alternative that makes the most sense. But
it's what Jason Tingler said last night, that it would be Kim first. And I think that that is a great point. Both things you said there, based on how players are playing, also they're going to mix and match.
Sure.
But the idea of, well, we invested in this guy, we believe in this guy, which I think they legitimately do. Let's see what Ha-Sung Kim does 3, 4, 5, 6 games at shortstop. And then we'll go from there. But also, I really am intrigued by the idea of Jorge Mateo, and especially with Grisham coming back. Now, if you want to look at a silver lining, the Padres are 3-2, and they don't have two of their regulars. So,
or three now. Well,
I'm sorry. They didn't have two of their regulars as they began the season 3-1.
Correct.
And Tatis wasn't really hitting. Machado wasn't for a couple games. And so, look, if we're looking for small sample size silver linings, you're going to get Trent Grisham back almost certainly for the start of the road trip, and maybe shortly after that. Maybe in Pittsburgh, you get Austin Nola.
Right, right.
So
let's, in the time we have remaining, as they like to say, let's talk pitching. From what we've seen, one trip through the rotation, nobody made it through the fifth inning except for Joe Musgrove, who was fantastic. Of course, the one game I saw the least amount of, because there was another game going on at that time that I was a little bit interested in. But Musgrove, from what I saw, looked great. I think he went sixth, and nobody else has made it through the fifth. I don't think there's anything worth reading into that at this point. I mean, Darvish, and if Snell pitched well, you know, Darvish was good until the last inning, although he didn't have his command. I thought Paddock was fine. I was out there Sunday. Not a lot of hard contact against him. A little bit of a bad break with the triple down the line that wasn't really hit that hard. But still, I mean, he did give up a couple runs, but that and one unearned run. I thought he was fine. He needs obviously better command. And Morejon last night was kind of the same way. He looked good, but a couple mistakes, a couple runs. And, you know, they just need – I still think guys are going to work, build themselves up, and we'll see what happens the second, third time through for all of them.
Absolutely. I think you just summed it up there. I think it's important that Paddock came out of it feeling like he and they came out of it feeling like he pitched well, because, you know, Chris Paddock's got command issues and he's got a tiny bit of a creeping confidence issue. So so that, you know, it was a decent start. Adrian Morejon gave up 2 solo homers. You know, if the Padres had scored 5 runs, he's still in the game in the fifth inning. He completes 5 innings. And for a guy who'd never thrown more than 46 pitches and gone 3 innings in the major leagues, first 3 innings, man, he gave up a solo home run in there too. But first 3 innings, I thought, this is about as good as they think Morejon. I mean, he's on the way to being as good as they think he's going to be. I mean, they believe that Morejon, you know, we talk about Mackenzie Gore and all that. They believe Morejon is right there. Maybe not, you know, Gore where they think he's going to be, but Morejon is quite a pitcher. Darvish will start the second time through tonight. We'll see. It was interesting that he said that, you know, he kind of got messed up in that final spring training start and carried it over into the beginning of the first outing, threw a lot of strikes. The Diamondbacks did a great job waiting on him. I'll be very interested to see what the Giants do tonight. But I would say that, like you said, there's not a whole lot to read in. I thought Blake Snell was fantastic. Just got the pitch count got up. You know what? The Diamondbacks, they might not be a great team, but they got a lot of veteran hitters on there, and they made those guys throw a lot of – we talked about how much the Padres made the Diamondbacks pitchers throw. The Diamondbacks pitchers did the same thing to the Padres starters. So, going to get some probably Austin Adams back on this road trip. Maybe Pierce Johnson shortly after that. So they'll have some decisions to make in the bullpen. Craig Stammen gave up a solo homer. He was the loser last night. Again, 3 solo homers. You don't get beat by those very often. Like you said, 1-for-7 each of the past 2 games with guys in scoring position. Got to score more than 1 run in a game. They're, you know, I think the pitching has been okay. I still say, well, scratch that. Before last night in the third inning, the pitching filling the innings on the pitching side was a big concern, and it remains a big concern for the Padres. So,
not quite the biggest anymore.
Where I know you were
headed with that. But, well, I know that. I mean, we could break down each of the games from days ago and Jace Tingler decisions and wins and losses and all that.
We got time for that.
There's time all year for that. There's a couple games coming up. And, of course, the big news today, which everyone can follow the website, follow you on Twitter, and find out more about Fernando Tatis and what eventually gets decided. And then we will talk to you on Friday from the great state of Texas, I believe.
Yeah.
I guess you don't even have to pack a mask or anything from what I've seen.
Pennsylvania after that, and not to get too political, but I hope they're wearing masks in Pennsylvania. I have to check. I'm just worried about getting through Texas.
Exactly. I know you're only one shot down, so gotta keep it together. Keep you around for a little bit longer till get that second shot. So we want to thank everyone for joining us, and we'll talk to you on Friday.
Thanks, everybody.